Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's that baseball going?
It's good. We're a little disappointed that the roof is not going to be open, but it is also hot. So I get it. I really, really do.
It might overcook the hot dogs, right?
Yeah, that's and that would be the worst thing we could see at the game today. Now, I know there are several things, as is always the case,
right,
to discuss. You saw the fine come down for Jalen Carter, about $57,000, more specifically $57,222. Did that feel about right for you? And do you think in the next collective bargaining agreement we could stop doing things off of game checks and give fines in round numbers?
I see what you're saying. Well, it depends on who the player is, because if it's a guy like him, that's pretty significant, right?
Yes.
If you
yes.
think about what you get fined for a personal foul in a game, it, you know, usually is, you know, not, you know, not what, five figures like that. You know, you get fined a couple $1,000s, maybe $8,000, $9,000, but the whole game check. So that's like getting suspended a game, right? Because if you get
yes.
suspended a game, that's, you don't get paid. And he did not get paid. So I thought, you know, I heard somebody said, well, all he's getting fined was the game he didn't play. And I go, no, he lost his paycheck.
Yeah.
That's significant. So, yeah, that's pretty hefty fine, I would think, for a little bit of spit. I don't think he got his money's worth.
It was not worth it.
Truth.
It definitely was not worth
it. I like
it.
That's your take. It's like, hey, if you're going to get fined, like, really get after
right?
it.
It's
yeah.
like
penalties.
If you get fined for a personal foul, right? Well, make it good, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, yank the guy down by his neck.
Yeah, 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 I got gotcha.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
I do.
Now, Mickey, what goes through your mind when you hear Jadeveon Clowney visiting? Like, what makes you? What do you think? We weren't good enough in the pass rush, or they're just trying to keep eyeballs on all the possible guys that could come through here?
Yeah, I think the latter. I also think you're thinking designated pass rusher.
Yes.
And when you have now right around $37 million available on their salary
right.
cap, you can make a mistake,
yeah,
and you could absorb it, right? That's the difference. And this is one of the deals. Well, I mean, not having Micah's $21 million on the cap, because had they signed him to a long-term deal, if you saw, you know, his cap hit for the first year in Green Bay is like $9 million, something like that. So, you know, you have money now that you can say, okay, if I got this much on the cap, you know, it's not like I got $10 million and I know I got to keep that because I'm going to have guys going on IR and I'm going to have add guys to 53.
Right.
And there's operating costs. But when you got that much, you can say, okay, you know what, if this works out and the money's right, I could take a chance. You know, Carolina last year signed him to a two-year, $20 million deal with $12 million guaranteed. And now, I read where, well, they're saving $7.8 million this year against the cap. Well, they're also paying $6 million dead money on the
yeah.
cap also
yeah.
On that guaranteed money. So, I think it's, you know, I think I walked by him today.
Oh,
I walked
oh.
by a big, tall guy that didn't have any Cowboys paraphernalia on, or, you know,
gear.
Dress. Yeah,
yeah.
gear. paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping
watching that
with
Netflix
that
documentary.
That was the 90s Cowboys. That was the 90s.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, he's a big man, if that was him. 6'4". So, I think it's worth a look. I mean, he's played for five different teams in the last 6 years. So he's
right.
never stuck anywhere. And I don't know if it was money or if they didn't get the production they thought they were paying for. He had 5.5 sacks last year in 64 snaps for the Panthers. No big deal. But the year before with the Browns in 2023, he had 9.5 sacks and 57% of the snaps. So, you know, sometimes maybe it's where you've been and who you're playing with, because I would imagine Carolina didn't have much on their defensive front. And they
right.
ended up with two guys, I think. They either drafted somebody high or signed a free agent. So, they moved on. So I think it's worth kicking the tires and, you know, see what kind of shape he is. Because, you know, with those guys, number one, you don't want to bring him in for the first game, because then you're guaranteed the veteran his base
yes,
salary.
Yes, that is what I said in the first segment. You'd be so proud of us.
Way to go. You had it figured out. And the other thing is those guys don't want to go to training camp.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Does,
they honestly. Think they can just step on the field and play, sort of like Micah, huh? Did you see Dan Quinn's comment?
Oh, no. What did he say?
They asked him, so what do you have to do with Micah Parsons having to face him on Thursday? He goes, well, I'll tell you what. It's a short week. I'd sit him.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, he honestly shouldn't play.
Yeah. Concerned about that back injury.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Mickey, after 1 week, do you feel a strength of this? I mean, I know, again, it's 1 week. Do you feel a strength of this team, this defense, is their secondary and their ability to cover? Because they got some playmakers on that Eagles squad, and I'm kind of looking that they didn't get a lot done there.
No, especially, yeah, in the passing game.
Yes.
I mean, A.J. Brown caught one pass, and it was that final possession.
Right.
I think, Dante Smith, two receptions, I think,
yeah.
maybe. The tight end hurt him a little bit.
Yes.
But, yeah, they must have done a pretty good job of coverage or confusing Jaden Daniels, because, you know, I think maybe one or two of his runs were designed. I think the rest where he was scrambling because he had nowhere to go with the ball.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that, the addition of Trayvon Diggs, and he only played, 27 snaps? Something around there. And he was basically on the nickel most of the time. So, I thought that, you know, other than the one post pattern that the guy beat Elam on, I thought he did a nice job. Bland did fine in the slot. They didn't get beat because of their pass coverage. They got beat because they couldn't keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket.
Sure.
I think that, you know, those three guys, now you don't want to go any deeper than that, but those three guys did a really nice job. And they did a nice job with pressure. They just didn't contain him. And you would hope that they work on that this week, because – from what I saw, Russell Wilson, you know, first sign of trouble, he's running. He's out of there. He's not looking for his second and third option. He's out of there. So you want to make sure the quarterback doesn't beat you with his legs.
Can I ask I want to talk about the idea of pressure for just a second, because, you know, I always like it. We've talked about this on the show. I always like seeing a statistic that backs up what I feel like I saw with my eyes. And I know that the Cowboys touted the pressure rate in Thursday night's game against the Eagles. And I understand that the numbers say what they are. But I guess watching the game, I didn't necessarily feel like that percentage reflected the amount of pressure I really thought the Cowboys were getting Thursday night.
So you didn't think they were affecting him in the pocket enough?
I guess I did. I, not I guess. I did not, and I know the numbers say that I am inaccurate about that, so I wanted to get your take since obviously like you were there as well.
Yeah, I thought they did a decent job, you know, causing him to move off his mark.
I think that's a fair way. Decent is, yeah.
Yeah, and at times having to throw on the run, which he does a really nice job, because I was trying to remember how many runs he had. He had this. There was three that shouldn't count because it was kneel downs for minus one, right?
Sure.
But I bet he had double digit carries or close to it, and it was mostly because he was flushed out of the pocket, other than those couple called runs. So there was a couple times that though he was in the pocket way too long, and they didn't get in his way. But the other times, they were over-rushing be a thing? Maybe that's
yes.
a stat where
yes.
guys get caved inside and you leave the outside open, and you got to stay in your lanes. And it looked like they did a better job the second half than they did the first half, when he was basically, it seemed like, responsible for all 21 of their points just because of him getting outside the pocket. So, again, in this game, you know, Russell Wilson will take off and run. Now, he doesn't run like Jaden Daniels, and he doesn't run like Russell Wilson from, you know, 10 years ago. But you don't want him to beat you that way. I think the hardest thing for a defense is when you think you've got him shut down on third down, and then the guy runs for 10 yards and gets
yep.
the first down on you. It's got to be demoralizing, I would think.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
I'll say that as a fan.
Okay. You
know, and I'm not even on the field, but I can see that.
This is going to be another fan question then, and Mickey, hopefully you've evolved beyond such petty thoughts. I get mad when the other team, like the team that's playing against the Cowboys, goes for it on fourth down, because I'm like, no, we did it. We stopped you
right,
on third
right.
down. Punt the ball. I realize that is nothing like what modern football is, but every now and again, I'm like a fourth and two. I'm like, no, we stopped you. You got to punt the ball.
Come on,
this
you got to punt, right?
Yeah, yeah, this is unfair. I got one more question about the numbers.
And nowadays, everybody's going for
yes.
it on fourth down.
Look,
it's just ridiculous. And
even in college, it's starting to rub off, right?
Absolutely, and it's unfortunate. But then again, when it's my team, I'm like, we're cowards.
Yeah, look
well,
at us.
I'll down, give you so. A good example. So Missouri's playing Kansas, right?
Right.
And they lose their kicker in the first game because he's trying to make a tackle on the sideline, and he tears his ACL. So they got a freshman kicker, and he hadn't kicked before, I think, you know, in any game. I don't know if he was a red shirt or whatever, right? And
yeah.
it got to fourth down, and I'm going, oh no, go for it. don't
exactly
bump, don't kick, don't, you know, don't try a field goal. And then I just read something, and I must have missed the opening kickoff because they got penalized. They tried to use their punter on the opening kickoff. He punted.
Huh.
Like it was a 15-yard penalty.
Oh no!
They
right?
thought nobody but was paying attention.
But then when they re-kicked, he punted again, and the SEC basically grounded that officiating crew for this week.
Oh yes, actually,
oh,
I did.
Right. Yeah.
I did see that.
Because you're not supposed to do that.
Yes, I mean that makes a lot of sense. I had
okay.
One...
Sorry.
No, not at all. I appreciate it when you engage in our nonsense. I have one more serious like. What I saw feels like it doesn't match up with the numbers of certain places. I thought that Kenneth Murray was perfectly serviceable in the game on Thursday night, and yet he has a very low grade from Pro Football Focus. So I wanted to see your take on, again, just one game, but the opener for Kenneth Murray.
Well, he tied for the team lead with 9 tackles, right?
Right.
I think what happened, and this is something I heard... when he got here, the criticism was he wasn't good in coverage. Okay, he's a linebacker. You
right.
know, can I devise a defense where my linebacker doesn't have to cover 10 yards downfield? And I think as we saw, the tight ends were hurting the Cowboys, and I don't know if that had something to do with the linebackers or having to take tight ends or running backs because. I don't know that that's what I want him doing.
Right.
I want him stopping the run. But But they did, if you notice in the second half when there was different defensive alignments, they started using Leofau a little bit more, and I was thinking, oh, maybe they, because he's much better in coverage than I think Kenneth Murray. So I'm thinking his overall grade got graded down because of that, possibly when they're looking at, oh, he should have been covering there. And that's just my guess. I didn't go back and look at it, but I'm thinking that's probably what took place.
Okay, right on. Well, we appreciate it. As always, we'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right, I'll be here, same time, same station.
There you go. Maybe same time.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.